Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Before, I wanted to share a little on Rosh Hashanah and the blowing of trumpets. It's one of the basic meanings of the blowing of trumpets. And but I wanted to share something that was so tickled me, because I was saying, Lord, this last week and a half, I was saying, Lord, show me what you're doing on earth. What we pray, I want to kind of get a report of, let not everything be hidden. I would love for, by the way, the children are dismissed. As you saw people walking out, they are going to children's church.
They're so beautiful.
But I said, what are you doing? We don't hear, we hear some of the negative, quite a bit of the negative. And I came across this news item in a regular news service. And there's a title, here it is. And I asked that question on Friday. I said, do you know where the fastest growing move of God is? But God is moving swiftly, which country? And I thought, you don't get it, Twinkie. Because on Friday I said, whoever will give me the correct answer, gets a Twinkie. So you already had, I already spoke on it. Half a Twinkie, maybe. But the greatest, fastest movement of the Lord and people being converted by the Holy Spirit is, of all places, I would not have suspected it, but I got so excited. Iran, it says, title here it is, in a secular news service, Iran has world's fastest growing church, despite no buildings, and it's mostly led by women.
Yes.
So there is a documentary coming out, and I hope we can show part of it sometime. And a new film tells the story of the fastest growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for exporting radical Islamic terrorism, and it's called Iran or Persia. There was the Prince of Persia and all kinds. The King of Persia released Nehemiah and Ezra to go back, Cyrus, and to build back Jerusalem. So, and something was triggered, by the way, just like Cyrus, after 70 years of captivity, Babylonian captivity, the Jews were sent home to rebuild Jerusalem. Again, it was echoed in our lifetime. You are still, all of you are alive. And this happened in my life, in my lifetime.
My lifetime.
That as Israel got replanted, that after 70 years, America moved its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And so we got to stand outside the new embassy. And see, this was prophecy fulfilled when Israel came back. And it shows the Bible is real. Jesus is real. Our redemption is real. Jesus did everything the Bible says He did. It's not our imagination. But anyway, here, people in Iran, a Muslim-majority nation, are fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow their knee to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel, according to the documentary Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2. What if I told you Islam is dead? One unidentified Iranian church leader says in the film, which was directed by Dalton Thomas. What if I told you the mosques are empty inside Iran? What if I told you no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? This is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. Jesus. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran. So, and I've talked with some Iranians that I did our programs. We have 250 programs that Bonnie and I did on very professionally done that have been broadcast, have been translated in Farsi. And then I did some more programs that were interpreted in Farsi. And at that time, they told me, it's part of the move, that Jesus Christ himself is waking up some of the people in their dreams.
Yeah.
Or when they woke up, there is Jesus standing. And I mean, that immediately it's in the glory, so they are converted. So we want to thank the Lord for this. Amen?
Yes.
Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Wow.
And more.
Wow.
Lord, do more. And it's just like the Lord, that the most persecuted people in Iran are the women. They can, some have even been, if they don't wear the right headdress, and I mean, it's, if I made Bonnie wear some of that outfit, you'd find this Indian beaten up so badly the next morning. And yet, if they catch women who not wearing, some have been killed.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, such oppression.
How beautiful of Jesus, though, the Redeemer. The Redeemer to begin to show himself to these people, and the courage, God bless them, of the women, the devotion of their faith and their affection to, in that context, come out and up. And you can just imagine in this particular article emphasizing that it's majorly women, it also means that they are exercising that Christian faith in the context of their homes that are, to some degree, at least initially, remaining Muslim, which you, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow.
And they'll pretend they have to, because they got rods and they'll, from cutting off people's limbs and all of that, the regime is evil. But therefore, so on the public, they have to make a public show. But inside, there is a, number one, the leaders of this awesome, one of the notable revivals on earth right now happening, the leaders are mostly women. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The most persecuted people are the ones, they are leaders.
Yeah.
And basically they said, this was the women would say, I was so impressed by this, that the name, we know that if they get us, the first thing they will do to us as a woman is rape us, and then they will beat us, and ultimately they will kill us, one believer said. This is the decision we have made, that we want to offer our bodies as sacrifices, because I have this thought when I wake up that when I leave, that door might not, I might not come back, but they are bold in their witness.
Wow.
How much more?
Wow.
It just convicts me that we need to aggressively not be shy.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of, even this weekend, I heard the Antichrist voices and movements in this nation never quit. Mm-mm. They're always pushing. If they get this victory, it doesn't matter to them. They go to the next thing. Okay, we're going to push for non-gender bathrooms, that a man can go into a woman's bathroom and pretend to be a woman. And I know my daughters, they would say, thank you, Father. I don't feel led to go to the bathroom. I'm out there. I will find a room until I won't go to the bathroom until I get home, even though it's 2-3 days. But women are made that way. They're very private in certain things. But these people push. So in Georgia, they were pushing that. I mean, when I first came here to the United States many years ago, now almost 50 years ago, but the big tradition was football games, you know, right?
Right.
Especially in certain states.
In a big way.
In Texas, man.
Alabama, Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was their religion.
Yes,
almost.
It's a big deal.
But they opened the football games with prayer, every football game, and the national anthem. And they were trying. This weekend I said, these guys never stop. Now we do not, there are people in there who do not believe in God. Therefore, we must all adjust, no prayer at football game. I mean, they'll keep on pushing. So what I'm saying is, don't you back down.
Right. Yeah.
If there are women in Iran who says, even if you kill us, and there is a big chance you could kill us, we will worship the King of Glory, Jesus Christ.
Lord.
So we want to know, and we have support here, that we're going to pray for you, cover you, but we are no longer backing down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, this is Rosh Hashanah.
It is Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year. Blow the shofar. Shout with a shout of triumph. That's what it says. Psalm 47. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Baby's shouting.
Amen.
Triumph. See?
That is.
That everyone that has breath praise the Lord.
What's that baby's name?
Yeah, that's Ellie Hope. That's the Pulver's baby. The baby girl that we waited for. The Lord brought her in such a blessed way, such a supernatural way. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are so proud of you guys, too. Your tenacity and your faith and your perseverance to bring this beautiful new young lady into our world.
Good-looking baby.
Yeah.
Have we showed her off?
Well, she can show her off now.
Well, we need to.
I'm sure we showed a picture.
We need to recognize.
Come on, Mary Beth.
She praised.
Yes. We all prayed. We're all just so happy, and we're so happy to see you guys out. I know you're happy to be out.
Show off the baby to us. Can I hold it?
Look. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
How about that? Good-looking baby.
She's mom. What's going on over here?
Hi, baby. Shana Tova.
Yes, amen. A doubly sweet year for you, Ellie Hope.
She has the most good-looking toes I've ever seen.
Look at her. She's so cute.
Hi. Hi. We welcome you. You are a blessing, and we bless you. Oh, she's smiling. She can feel the anointing. Amen. Father,
amen.
Just stretch your hand out.
Yeah.
Father, we bless this child.
Amen.
Thank you. May she be anointed and be a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That's like, I got to get in on this.
You guys did good work.
Yes.
And the Lord did good work.
Amen.
And may she be a blessing to you, to the kingdom of God, to the name of Jesus. And may she be blessed. And the whole family be the head and not the tail.
Amen.
And have the blessings of Abraham.
Hallelujah. Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Yeah.
Bless you guys. So she gave a shout of triumph.
Yeah.
And we needed to recognize her. Amen. Good work.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So this is the blowing of the trumpets is one of the main thing of the Rosh Hashanah. And so we will, it means a whole bunch of meanings. It means coronation of the king. I mean, I wrote, it's the renewal of the conscience.
It's like a litany of glory.
And it represents, as you blow the shofar, it says God has revealed himself.
The king.
He's By faith,
yeah.
We believe he's revealing himself daily, over and over. And that the voice of the prophets is renewed.
Amen.
As we blow the shofar, Amen. It shows the voice of the prophets has spoken to us before and is speaking to us now. But we are going to be looking in the next few months. I'm looking forward to putting out the Christmas trees and Thanksgiving and all of that fun stuff. But it celebrates the coming of Jesus. So the prophetic, you saw the prophet welcomes Jesus, the baby, mm-hmm. in the temple.
Simeon and Anna.
Simeon and yeah. Anna, they prophesy. And I'll tell you, that prophetic, as we honor and blow the shofar, God will take any barriers we have of hearing the voice of the Lord. And you're going to be, by faith, as we approach this new year, and we declare, Shana Tova, Happy New Year, I am determined to hear the voice of the
Amen.
Lord more clearly than ever before.
Amen.
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 So may
Amen.
God just renew his voice. It reminds us that there was one at one time the Ark of the Covenant in his presence rested in
yeah.
the temple. And it, you know, the temple was destroyed, but it's all right. God is going to renew it. And of course, Jesus is coming back. That's part of the declaration that the Lord himself sacrificed. So the ram's horn, we blow basically, but I prefer that horn because it just makes it nicer. I'm more comfortable with that sound. And it's an animal called kudu. And when I first tried it out, I didn't know, I was not aware. And I was so excited. I mean, I was invited. They paid my way 22 years, 23 years to do the healing service at the Feast of Tabernacles. And then often I started taking Bonnie and the children with me. But I would hear the shofar. I fell in love with the sound of the shofar, especially on the Sabbath. And in Jerusalem, the city is busy, I mean, noisy, horns, all that. But the moment the Sabbath comes, hush over that city mm-hmm. of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. But the blowing of the shofar, it's the ram's horn, and I do this, the kudu horn also. But the ram's horn, symbolic that the Lord, Abraham said, and the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. And it was a ram. It's a male lamb. And so it reminds us that basically of the sacrifice of Jesus mm-hmm. on the cross for each of you. So here, as we celebrate, we blow the shofar, we are connecting and saying Jesus is Lord. And we blow.
Hallelujah.
We are going to evangelize
Hallelujah.
The nations.
Yeah.
And every nation will know Jesus Christ, the Lord. He is coming. He took the pain. He took the iniquities. And by his stripes I'm made whole. Now I have eternal life. You can never get tired doing it. And we need a refreshing. I want you to know the church needs to have refreshing. We need. Part of it is, I mean, not that God is being critical, but he says, get on fire. Get the Holy Spirit fire because you can see the enemy is coming and we need to be strong. It reminds me of the Tolkien, by the way, J.R. Tolkien, who the Fellowship of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings, the movie. He was one of the most committed believers. And he had really renewed faith in Jesus Christ. And he wrote those books. But it was all aimed towards the return of the king. Basically symbolic of the Lord Jesus himself. Yeah. But in the second movie, the two towers, they are battling. And they blow the shofars or whatever the horns they were. And at the blowing of the horn, then the fresh reinforcements come up. It's all exciting and connected for me. humbling ourselves. Part of the other meaning of the blowing of the shofar is that we are humbling ourselves as we call out and broadcast the call of God to the nations. And we are declaring, our God is an awesome God. Say, my God.
My God.
Is an awesome God.
Is an awesome God.
So as we blow the shofar, we are not an army that's withdrawing and becoming cowardly, but we are going to wherever. That's I prayed for someone on Friday that said, it's like something has come into my house and I feel afraid. And all the, I said, by gum, you, that's your home. You are going to declare to every room in your home,
amen,
that Jesus Christ is Lord and you serve him and you're not going to be afraid. And wherever you go, the glory goes with you. And in the name of Jesus, you are commissioned to take his authority and tell demons to bow. So, and then ladies, especially, I'm just inspired. If one of the most terror-creating regimes in the world is confronted by the women saying, we're not afraid.
Wow.
You can kill us.
Wow.
But we are going to serve Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, amen. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you want to finish your list?
Sure.
Why don't you finish your list of what the shofar is?
Well, as we blow the shofar, we declare also that the Lord, he is the chief judge.
That's awesome.
And we bow to him and his word. And that it is Jesus. The last point I want to make is that it's a declaration. Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming soon. We better get ready.
And you have right there foreshadows the return from exile.
Yes.
And this week, the scripture for me has been from 1 Peter and thinking of the Iranian women now and of the blowing of the shofar. But it says, this is, if you got this letter personally, just imagine what a treasure it would be and how many times you would refer back to it. And pour over it and study it and remember and take every bit of it. Very simply says, to the elect exiles, according to the foreknowledge of God. So apparently this is a time of history where sometime after Saul's conversion and that whole event, that season, there was intense persecution of the believers in Jerusalem. And most of them left there and went to other places. And that, of course, was in coordination with other bits of the diaspora of the Jews. But Peter is pointing out that that event, those events that seem to have, you know, driven them into another place, he says this, according to the foreknowledge of God. So number one, you would be reminded that every event in our lives has been thought through in advance by the Lord, and eventually he is bringing us to his good and to his glory. And so it gives you a redemptive sense about even the bitter surprises or the unexpected things. To the elect exiles of the dispersion, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, an absolute knowledge that you have been set apart from before the creation of the world, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be coming to dwell in and with you, set apart literally to have companionship with God Almighty through the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely stunning. For obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And when I came across this phrase again, for obedience to Jesus Christ, recognizing that God has set a way for us and has made a way open by the power of the Holy Spirit that we might share in the literal obedience of Jesus. Here's the significant thing about that. His sonship, Jesus' sonship, the perfection of sonship as the heir of God, was in his obedience to the Father. And this is a huge encouragement that the grace of the Holy Spirit and the foreknowledge of God has set you apart to become sons, heirs, full inheritors through obedience, the same obedience of Jesus Christ. That's a huge encouragement. And for sprinkling with his blood. We know that Hebrews says that there is a voice in the blood of Jesus that is speaking better things than that of Abel. I've been meditating on that whole dynamic and exactly what, you know, Scripture was saying to us and what the correlation between the obedience of the Son of God and the sprinkling of the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. And in one way, it's something very simple, because Cain and Abel were two men, two brothers, two sons. One was an obedient son, was a correctable son. One was not. He was stuck in his own way of thinking, doing, I'll invent my way of worshiping God, and then I'll get mad when God doesn't, you know, accept my sacrifice the way I'm offering it, so on and so forth. But the terrible thing of what happened to Cain, I actually was writing these notes, when the Lord said, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. That's from the Hebrews scripture that says that the blood of Jesus is speaking for us better than that voice that cried to God on behalf of Abel. But if you look at Genesis 4, you understand that through the blood of Jesus, it's where the curse is broken, because the next thing that God says to Cain, when he says, I hear your brother's blood, now you're cursed. Now you're cursed from the ground. It will no longer give you its strength. He was a master farmer. Remember, that's what he brought to God in the beginning. He had a gift. It was a God gift, but he was using it for himself, for his own way. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there is an abject picture of what happened to the human race. We received a seed from our father, Adam and Eve, when they were given the authority to choose to be obedient to God. And they chose to be disobedient. And there was a seed, a bitter seed, that carried a curse and sort of the degradation, the reverse of the blessing of God that came into the earth and into the human race. The power of the blood of Jesus that has absolutely abolished all of that radioactive working is stunning. And the reality that that voice is around you all the time, every day now, in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scenario with Cain, it says, when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its strength. And I wrote, Cain, a worker of the ground, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. That's what Genesis says. But then the Lord says to him, you will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Think about this. Always running from something, never finding a sense of home, never finding a sense of belonging in a family that God gives, inability to value proper relationships, inability or unwillingness to commit to long-term relationships and responsibility, failure in things you may once have been gifted at, perpetual rejection, isolation, and anger. Contrasted with the blood of Jesus, the perfect, obedient Son that is speaking on our behalf now. It's making that declaration before God. The Son comes to do the will of another, of the Father. And this is directly how the curse is broken. Jesus' obedience is speaking in his blood of Father God, that we are his heirs, that we have a family, that we're connected, that we have safety, that we have prosperity, that we have satisfaction. It goes on and on. That we have peace that leads to joy, security that is permanent, in fact, it's eternal, and fruitfulness from your labor. So it's literally curse versus blessing. And it's the secret is in the obedience of Jesus as the Son and heir. And he has freely given that to us. So in Peter's letter, when he says the foreknowledge of God in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. He says, bless God and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again as sons now to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Just think about that. If you have a bank account, or if you've ever received an inheritance that is, you know, in a document, and then you receive a sum of money or something, what a treasure that the presence of that thing is. This is telling us that Jesus has purchased this unfading, imperishable inheritance, and it's waiting there for us to ultimately come into and receive the whole thing. May God give us a sense of what we possess now. These Iranian women obviously have it. They obviously have got this in them, and they know. It says, who by God's power, say by God's power, I'm being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. Wow. So the security, the safety and protection, these women are absolutely stunning. They have laid hold of something in the spirit realm that is a reality that is greater than the natural threat to their bodies, to their lives. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And so he says here, in this you rejoice. For though now, if necessary, for a little while, you're grieved by various trials, the testing of your faith is more precious than gold. And then he says, though you haven't seen him, rejoice with inexpressible joy, filled with glory, because you believe. May your faith spring up in you a well of joy today on this Rosh Hashanah. As we say, Happy New Year, shout to God with a voice of triumph. The Lord is King, coronated. He's received his crown. May the knowledge that you believe become a fresh well of joy for you, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. Bubbling up. Say bubbling up.
Bubbling up.
Come on, say bubbling up. And think about these Iranian women. Here we sit in this safe place. We can just, you know, well, oh, glory, hallelujah, church again, whatever. I'm inspired. I'm getting ready to represent you in Cuba. And it's, don't believe all the, oh, the touristing is so wonderful. I've been really amazed at the several believers that I've come across. Oh, man, I've been wanting to go to Cuba, all those cool cars. And let me tell you something. It is terrible. It's dire down there. The people are absolutely suffering. And it was pitiful when I was there last year, but it's 10 times worse now. Prolonged power outages, food shortages, no gasoline, mosquito plagues everywhere. It's wild. And the vibrance of the heart of faith of the church there. There is a revival going on. And the resilience of the believers is a beautiful thing to behold. So I'm taking your blessing and your faith and your joy and going to strengthen and encourage them. But I guarantee you, it's what happens is it ends up coming back because you see people that are being resisted in a secular sense much more than the that you know goes on in our media. One more thing I'm just going to throw in. I got a new phone. I'm very happy to get a new phone. Do you know the little emoji boards? The makers of those phones automatically stick as number one, 12, most frequently used, all the purple unicorn with the crazy horns. That's the major symbol for the LGBTQ activist movement. So I don't want this in my phone. When I pull my phone up, the very first emojis it's giving me is all this. That, it's not very subtle. Don't put it in my phone. I'm going to complain. I don't know if it will do anything, but I want it off my phone. I've looked every way that I can to see, you know, how to take it off. But these are glorious times, and the Word of God that declares to us the reality of what we possess because we believe, because we're Christians. May God give us a sense as real as eating the apples and honey or eating the pomegranates of this treasure that we have as Christians. And may that inspire us to be awakened to the presence of God in us and become even more ambassadors and emissaries, unafraid, unapologetic, anointed by the Spirit to heal, to deliver, to prophesy good things, and to declare the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Happy New Year. Shout to God with a voice of triumph.
Shana Tova. And we will, in a moment, just blow the trumpet. But we wanted to share and say it's from Scripture. The Lord said, at this time, you will celebrate, and get together, and blow the trumpet, and that the Lord is King.
Amen, Lord.
That's one of the main things, that the blowing of the shofar. Jesus is Lord. It's one of the basic statements of the blowing
Amen.
Of the trumpet.
Amen.
And
the King. Psalm 47. God is the King of all the earth. He reigns over nations and sits on the throne of his holiness. Hallelujah. The shields of the earth belong to God. It's beautiful.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount.
Lord.
Mount Sinai was altogether on its smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice.
So,
woo! Wow.
Amen, so, Lord.
We also want to pray. This week is important to really, in our nation, to especially want to cover in prayer our president. There is such poison that's out of the human wicked spirit. And we are grateful for the freedoms we have. But if we don't cherish them and really use the force of prayer to cover our, you know, the people who are out there, the executive branch, we have voted them in. They are the Americans freely choosing their leaders and how, in what direction. The people who would, in secret, try to manipulate things. We do not want just plotters and coup makers. So cover our executive branch, cover President Trump in prayer. Secondly, we want to send blessing to Cuba.
Amen.
And a move of revival.
Amen. Thank
and
you,
restoration.
Lord.
That Thank the Lord,
you.
As we blow the shofar, may the King of Glory
yes.
be truly King
Amen.
And Lord over Cuba and the Cuban people.
Thank you, Lord.
The people are awesome. They have endured in the midst of oppression.
Yeah.
And so we bless Cuba and pray for all and supernatural covering for all who carry the gospel. And we send blessing to Iran
Amen.
And to mainland China. That is a great move of
Thank
God
you.
Over there. So realize, have a bigger, we are going to keep on interceding. We have an assignment. And may new authority, this is the symbol for this year, for the Hebrew New Year, mm-hmm. is the mouth. It says what we do with the mouth, with fresh authority, speak forth. The numbers, 5780, I believe, mean something in Hebrew. It's take too long to explain, maybe next Friday will be explain what it means. But anyway, the way it's expressed, it symbolizes something. And one of the symbols means, may you come to a new level of speaking forth with your mouth the glory of God. So he's taking us to the new. At this, by faith, we apprehend that he is giving his church and believers tremendous authority to speak blessing, all right? To speak blessing to your children, speak blessing to the church, speak blessing to this area. I really appreciate Bonnie and all the people who went from here to bless one of the threatened, at-risk communities. But God is doing miracles. It is changing. And we pray prosperity to that area and healing. So I'm excited on this Hebrew New Year. God is watching over his people. And I brought up Iran to let you know, don't you get under the yoke of anxiety or dark cloud. God is up to something. Amen? Say, God is up to something.
God is up to something.
Hallelujah. And he's going to use each one of you, Jean and Mary. Stand up for a moment. I just want the people to know, you guys, they are so awesome. And they are just that we are always thrilled when we go to Seattle. Give them a clap. Bless you guys. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Give me my shofar. Who else has shofars? You can come. Evans, yes, thank you.
One of the guys that
That's
was
great.
A big facilitator of the Freedom Awakening is from the Belk family, and he had had this image in his mind about blowing the shofar over the city. He had no idea about Rosh Hashanah or anything like that. And he had been going around for a week or more trying to find someone that could come to the event and blow the shofar. And he told me this in the bus just before the meeting. I was like, well, dude, you should have called us. We have a whole army of shofar blowers. And so Bonnie was there. She ran home and got her shofar, came back at the end and blew that shofar. And I'm going to tell you something. I left you a voicemail. There was a different sound than I've ever heard before, wasn't there? There was a different sound than I've ever heard before when you blew that shofar last night. There was some, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it. There was a tone in it that was running. I mean, it was deep and strong and powerful. So we're,
Amen. And see, we may not understand. I mean, there are so many traditions involved in this Hebraic, teachings. And I said, I am overwhelmed, the richness.
Yeah.
Of
Absolutely.
The meaning.
Absolutely.
But I want to be right there at my voice, at my strength, to the level I can. And Bonnie, thank you. You are adding, and I mean, you may not be able to blow this so far, but try if you will. But each of you, God, I believe, is inviting you
Hallelujah.
To do your part.
Thank
Whatever
you,
you can, give strength. Turn up, be there available. Of course, by the way, this is All Nations Day.
Yeah.
So some of us, and I hope I can, we're going to break for lunch, and you're all invited. We're going to mug people who are trying to get away. because I'm dead. But we are so happy to have you.
Thank you,
Come
Jesus.
And break bread for us. And in the coming days, invite people to the Feast of the Lord. These days are the Feast of Trumpets, the Days of All. I love this time frame because these are the high holidays. This is where Jesus stood
right in the temple
and shouted, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me."
Wow.
and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was saying he was the source. And then said, I am the light of the world. So, I mean, unapologetically, he was declaring, these are the days of all. And we are going to invite others to not miss these awesome days of celebration, of being together. Add your shout to our shout. And you will find God, as you are sowing into the Lord by your presence, by your shouts, by your singing, and you'll find the Lord is blessing you and your children hundredfold that you didn't even pray for. The Lord is turning up because he's supernaturally watching over you. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered.
Amen.
So as we blow the shofar, receive the fresh blessings of God from the presence of the Lord on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus.
Lord.
It's not that we have earned anything. I don't deserve it. But the blood of Jesus pleads for me and says, let his bucket, let you be loaded with blessings more and more. Lord, I can't contain it. No, you haven't had enough. I'll give you more. More. Lord, it's too much. No. I want more because you are going to bless others. God's not only blessing you, but out of you, other people are being blessed. So do not, by the way, that force that has been locking our mouth, that this new year, especially to do with your mouth. Your mouth is anything that has locked you up with fear, hurt, whatever. He's releasing you from any bondage. And you are going to declare the glory of the King of Zion, the Lord Jesus. Let the King of glory come into my home, into my nation, into my children's lives. There are miracles your children need. We can bless them. And the King of glory comes in and speaks the blessing. Say, let the King of glory.
Let the King of glory.
Come in.
Come in.
Let the King of glory.
Let the King of glory.
Come in.
Come in.
Let the King of glory.
Let the King of glory.
Come in.
Come in.
Hallelujah. We're going to blow the shofar and receive the blessing of the new year. Are you guys ready? Awesome. All right. Let's go for it. Give us some Scottish encouragement.
Scottish encouragement.
Braveheart.
Well, when a Scot hears the trumpet, he cries freedom.
Oh, there you go.
That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. So let's declare freedom today, all right?
Amen.
On three. Three. Freedom!
I'm seeing miracles.
Amen.
Just breaking loose around your lives. Breakthrough. Say breakthrough.
Breakthroughs.
Hallelujah. Remember your children and your grandchildren. They are all getting blessed. Glory. Glory.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.